Thank you, Derek. It is truly good to be here this morning, and it is an honor to be back at Union. Andy kind of stole my thunder. That was my joke about my last name and my wife and all those things. I really thought about changing my name to Jamie Frost at one point so that everybody would know who I was here. But it is truly an honor to be here, and it's truly challenging to me to stand here after 4 years of sitting out there, because I've thought to myself, I really can't be boring today, because these guys have to come in here week after week after week after week, and they just tune people out. That's what I did as a young college student, and I hope that today we will press forward toward holiness as we study the Word. I was asked this morning to direct our thoughts forward toward the coming Easter season. And so, as our guide, we will use Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 27. So, if you have a Bible, I would invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 27. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Would you pray with me? Holy Father, as we have already sung this morning, your redeeming love is our theme, and we pray that it shall be till we die. So this morning, O God, we ask that you would open our minds to understand your scriptures. We ask that your Spirit would apply it to our hearts and that we would be changed and given a greater desire to pursue obedience and the likeness of our Lord Christ. Lord, we ask you this morning to speak to us through your word, because we need to hear from you. We need to be taught. We need to be changed. So, God, help us, we pray, now in the name of Jesus. Amen. As a child, I was raised in a more liturgical type church setting where we spent a little over a month preparing for Christmas, and then we celebrated Christmas, and then we spent a little over a month preparing for Easter, and then we celebrated Easter. And I would always sit there and think, why do we spend so much time getting ready for these two events? Why is it that they're so central to the life of the church? Well, particularly this morning, I want us to consider Easter and consider why is it so central? Why is it worthy of such focus? Why is it that historically such a big deal has been made out of this holiday? And the answer is very simply what we celebrate. We celebrate our Lord's giving his life and being raised. to celebrate these events which are central and necessary parts of the gospel which we claim for salvation. And so I believe that we should prepare ourselves for this celebration. We should prepare ourselves to think about and to focus upon and to consider the great grace of God extended to us in Christ, and to consider the great offer of salvation that is given through His sacrifice and death on the cross, and then vindication and resurrection 3 days later. So I want to lead us, there are 16 days between now and when we as the church will celebrate the holiday of Easter. I want to lead us to prepare ourselves to be overwhelmed by the grace of God that is extended to us in Christ, to be so overwhelmed that we think about death and resurrection in a way that perhaps we never have, or that we take as much joy and as much glory and give as much glory to God for those events as we ever have. So that is my task this morning, and we are going to use this text as our guide. Two questions that we must stand before and be asked from Luke chapter 9 this morning are these. Who do you say that Jesus is? And the second question is, how do you follow Jesus? So first this morning, who do you say Jesus is? Our text begins in verse 18 and following. The followers of Jesus gathered around Him, and they have just experienced several miraculous events, several manifestations of Jesus' power and His authority and His ability to accomplish the impossible. And Jesus looks out at His followers and He says to them, who do the crowds say that I am? What do you make of me? What do you do with all that I am doing and have done? And His followers kind of stumble over the question and stammer back, and they say, well, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say perhaps a prophet of old. So Jesus then turns their attention. He kind of refocuses the question. He says, okay, if there is kind of this public uncertainty about what needs to be done with me, then my followers, those of you who are with me, those of you who have seen my works, those of you who have seen all that I've done, who do you say that I am? What do you make of me? And Peter, as always, quick to speak, responds and says, you are the Christ of God. And we will notice there was no rebuke of Peter. Jesus didn't correct him. None of the other disciples chimed back in. But Peter's confession, you are the Christ of God, stands. It was allowed to stand. It was allowed to stand on its own. Peter confesses, as if for them all, you are the Christ of God. And indeed, we would confess this morning that Peter was correct. Jesus truly was the Christ of God. Jesus truly was the one whom Israel had longed for. Jesus truly was the one who was to come and redeem God's people. Jesus truly was the one who was going to come and initiate God's redemptive plans. Jesus was the one to bring salvation. Jesus was the one for whom all of Israel had been awaiting, and Peter was right to confess that, because if we're going to answer the question, who is Jesus, we must begin by saying, He is the Christ of God. So, as we pose that question and we stand here today, who do we say that Jesus is? We must begin, if we're going to answer correctly, by saying, He is the Christ of God. So while a right answer to the question, who do you say Jesus is, would begin with Jesus as the Christ, it's vital that we have a right understanding of the Christ. It's vital that we understand what the Christ came to do. It's vital that we understand what the role of the Christ really was. And apparently, Jesus thought it was vital that his disciples rightly understand his role as the Christ as well, because he continues. He continues. He wants to make sure that their framework of the Christ is correct. He continues in verse 21 and 22, "And he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised.'" So if we're going to answer the question, who do you say that Jesus is? He is the Christ of God, but he is the crucified Christ of God. And those two things cannot be separated. Because for Jesus to come and to establish God's, or to bring about the fulfillment of God's redemptive plans, for Jesus to come and redeem God's people, and for him to set in motion the proclamation of the gospel of his own name, crucifixion was essential. The phrase "the Christ" at the time of this interaction between Jesus and his followers came with many connotations. Was the Christ just one who was going to liberate the nation? Or was he one that was just going to bring about a present good for his followers? Was he one that was going to take away all pain and suffering? Jesus wanted to clarify that and say, "I am the Christ, but the Christ is the crucified Christ." It was essential. It is essential for us to notice that and to think about and to focus upon and to meditate upon and to consider that the Christ we worship is the Christ who was crucified to accomplish all that the Father sent him to do. We can't separate Jesus Christ from his crucifixion. We can't separate the idea of the Christ of God from the idea of a suffering servant. We cannot separate those ideas. And Jesus wanted to make sure that his followers didn't miss the point. Well, why? Why did Jesus want to make sure that his followers didn't miss the point? Well, later in chapter 9, verse 51, Luke tells us that when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus knew that he was headed for Jerusalem. Jesus knew that he was taking his disciples not on a path of glory and of present earthly fulfillment and of present earthly satisfaction, but that he was taking his disciples on a path whereby he would be killed and taken away from them to the point that they would despair and that they would question the validity of their very confession that Jesus was the Christ. So Jesus, knowing that they didn't fully understand, knowing that the Christ must be a crucified Christ, wanted to lay before his followers that you are following me to my very death, and that is good. That is acceptable. That is how God is going to accomplish his plans for his people. Don't be dismayed when I am handed over and when I am killed. The Christ which we are called to celebrate, the Christ on whom we are called to believe, the Christ that we are called to follow is the Christ who was crucified at the hands of the Jewish leaders in Israel at a real moment in time to satisfy and to bear the punishment for sins and to satisfy the wrath of God, this Christ was crucified, and his crucifixion was a necessary part of who he was, and it is a necessary part of him truly being the chosen servant of God. So you say, I know that. I believe that. Yeah, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I believe that he was crucified. But the point is that it is essential. It is essential that as we think of the Christ, we think of a Christ who was crucified to accomplish the will and the purposes of God for his people. It is essential that as we approach this time of year where we think about death and burial and resurrection, that we consider the great sacrifice, the great emptying of self, the great accomplishment which came through Christ being killed to bear what we cannot bear. The grace of God, as extended to us, is extended to us in Christ. So we must cling to a crucified Savior, a crucified Christ. Jesus knew that his crucifixion would be a stumbling block for many. He knew that it would be a stumbling block for his followers. And actually, later in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, we come across some of those very people. A man named Cleopas and one of his companions were walking, and the resurrected Christ appeared to them, but they didn't know who he was. And Cleopas said to this resurrected Christ, when asked, "Why? What's going on? Why are you despairing? What's all the chaos?" He said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Did you notice that last phrase? "But we had hoped that Christ was the one to redeem Israel." Christ knew that the fact that he died, the fact that he surrendered his life on the cross, would cause people to question whether he was really the Christ. And he therefore wanted his followers to know that the Christ is one who will suffer, who will be crucified, and will, through that, be the true redemption of God's people, because he will be raised. That was also part of what Christ said in verse 22 of chapter 9. "He will be killed and on the third day be raised." That is, he will be vindicated. He will be proven to be a man who is worthy of being followed. He will be shown to truly be the Christ. Christ cannot be separated from his crucifixion. Therefore, in our minds, in our thinking, in our meditations, in our Bible reading, in our praying, we cannot separate those two things. We look upon a crucified Christ. We look upon a Christ whose blood was spilled to cover our sins. We look upon a resurrected Christ who has overcome death. And so as we think about an Easter season, we are celebrating the essence of the gospel. We are celebrating the essence of what it means to be the people of God. That Christ was dead. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. So the first question that we need to ask ourselves to lead us to prepare our hearts and our minds for this coming season is, who do you say that the Christ, who do you say that Jesus is? And I would invite you to open your Bible, to read about Christ, to read about his focused intent to get to Jerusalem and to yield his life to accomplish the will of God. Read about the Christ who who was determined to not be set aside. Read about the God who was determined that Christ get to Jerusalem. Read about the Father who was determined that Christ get to the cross, that it all might be accomplished and finished. Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, there's a few possibilities to that. We could say he is the crucified Christ, and we can embrace that by faith. We can say, I don't know. We can say, I reject that. I want no part of this Christ. My call to each of you, no matter where you fall in that spectrum, is to consider Christ. Who do you say that he is? The second question that we must ask as we, if we desire to prepare ourselves, is, do you follow him? And if you confess that Jesus is the Christ, if you confess that he is God's agent of salvation, that he is worthy of our faith and worthy of our hope and worthy of our trust, the next question we must ask, we must analyze our lives is do we follow this Savior? Do we follow him? Jesus continued in verse 23 and following. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Those of us who profess the name of Christ, who take him on, and we by faith trust him, and we seek to follow him, those of us who have right thoughts, right beliefs, are called to live out those beliefs by faith, and we are called to actually follow him. We are called to actually follow him in obedience. We are called to actually evidence and manifest our faith by doing what he has commanded us to do. So the question is, do I actually follow him? The answer from our text this morning is that following Jesus will ultimately cost you everything. Christ says, if you would come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you would come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now notice twice in what I just said is an imperative, a call to follow. He says, if you would come after me, which would mean to follow behind me, if you would follow me, then follow me. Twice, deny yourself, take up your cross, and actually follow me. There's a call that if we are going to call ourselves the followers of Christ, his disciples, his believers, those who trust in him, then we are called to actually in our lives, in our daily living and decisions and how we govern ourselves, we are called to follow him. Now, we don't have quite the luxury of those who heard these original words who could actually stand up and walk behind him. But we can follow Christ in his obedience to the will of the Father, his dependence on the Holy Spirit's guidance, his unwavering focus on fulfilling the gospel, his willingness to sacrifice everything, including his very life, including descending from heaven and becoming a man and then dying so that the will of the Father that could be fulfilled, so that the gospel could take place. Christ sacrificed everything for the gospel. We can follow him in that. I can follow him in seeking to be obedient to the Father. We can follow him in seeking to submit ourselves to the revealed will of God. We can follow him in our dependence upon the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives. We can follow him in living with the gospel and its proclamation and its spread in mind, and seeking to live it out and to show our faith, to show mercy, to show grace. We can follow him in being willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of the gospel. And on that last point, that's actually the call, because Christ said, if you would come after me, deny yourself. See, following Jesus, in one sense, is a very exclusive endeavor, because we can't follow Christ and follow our sinful desires at the same time. So Christ says, deny yourself your sinful pride. Deny yourself all of the things that you are so focused upon because you think that they will please you and satisfy your soul or fulfill you or complete you. Deny yourself these things and follow me, because I am the great end. I am the great end, the great joy, the one who is worthy of being followed. Christ says, deny yourself and follow me. He also says, take up your cross daily. The suffering of Christ led him to a physical death on a cross. We are called to actively embrace the pursuit of whatever suffering might stand in front of us so that we can follow Christ. The call is to deny yourself, to be willing to take on a cross daily so that you can obediently evidence the faith which you proclaim with your lips through your hands and your feet and your interactions and all that you do. Christ says, if you confess me, follow me. And to follow Christ is to deny yourself, is to take up a cross, to embrace suffering, and to follow him. Now who, the question might be, who would want to do that? Who would be willing to set aside pleasure now to follow Jesus Christ? Who would be willing to set aside joy now to follow Jesus Christ? Who would be willing to set aside comfort now to follow Jesus Christ? Who would be willing to set aside tangible material goods now to follow Jesus Christ? Only the one who is in, who is captivated and whose mind is so focused and finds so much joy and glory in the gospel and in Jesus Christ and in the crucified Christ who died for us, only in that pursuit will we be willing to deny ourselves and to take up the cross and follow him. We are called to follow him. If we confess with our lips, we're called to follow him, to evidence our confession, to evidence our faith in all that we say and do. Two questions I have posed to prepare ourselves for the Easter season. Who do you say that Christ is? And I would call you this morning to embrace the suffering, crucified Christ as Lord, and to then follow him. Because the second question is, do you follow Christ? Will you say, I will die to safety, comfort, self-promotion, accumulating possessions, being right all the time, trying to justify my thoughts in all things, making myself the center of my universe, thinking that you could go on and on and on. I will die to blank to follow Christ. The blank. Anything that will hinder you from obediently following Christ, anything that will hinder you from obediently taking up your cross and following Him, you're called to die to it. You're called to set it aside and to actually follow Him. Christ's obedience to God the Father came with much pain, much agony, much suffering. Who are we to say that we're not willing to endure any of that for His cause if we are going to confess Him with our mouths? Our call this morning, our call every day, Christ said daily, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. So as you prepare for what we are calling the Easter season, who do you say Jesus is? And if you answer, He is the Christ of God, I trust Him by faith, and I would ask you, examine your life. Do you actually follow Him? Would you pray with me? Father, this morning we thank You. Thank You for Your Word. We thank You for such a high calling to deny ourselves, to take up the cross, and to follow Your Son, Christ, and our Lord. Lord, even as I have thought about these words and begin to press them into my life, I tremble at the results, things that must change. So I pray, beginning with me, and pray for all of these gathered here this morning. I pray, O God, that You would, by Your Spirit, penetrate us, cause us to find great satisfaction, great pleasure, great faith in the crucified Christ, and then give us the grace to follow Him, casting aside whatever must be cast aside, that He might be obediently followed. Father, help us. This is a great calling. We must have Your grace. So, Father, we pray for help. We plead for mercy. We pray for weeks of reflection upon who You are for the sake of Your glory. We pray this now in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You are dismissed.